So tonight in our studies in the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, we come to consider the people of Israel in verses 29 to 30. And you'll see the verses up on the screen that we're looking at tonight. It says, "By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days." And in this series and looking at the people of faith, one of the things we are considering is what real and true faith is. And it's something we need to be very clear about, because the world talks about faith. Many people talk about faith in God, and it's a very fuzzy thing. And one of the things we have been seeing in this series is that the faith we need is a very clear faith, focused on the true God, focused on Jesus, his Son. A faith that changes us, a faith that causes us to be a different people. A faith that is a living faith in our lives. Not something that is dead, not something that's passive, but something that is transforming to us. And so as we think tonight in these two incidents, the crossing of the Red Sea and then the walls of Jericho, the first thing we're going to see is the faith that divides, focusing on verse 29. The event at the Red Sea ends with the Israelites traveling safely on towards the promised land, but the Egyptians have been destroyed. And here we see faith is something that divides. The difference between the Israelites who were saved and the Egyptians who were not was that the Israelites had true and saving faith in the Lord. And that's so important, because the difference between those who will experience eternal blessing and those who will experience eternal judgment is the presence or not of this true saving faith. Now, what can we learn about true faith from what we read in this verse about the Israelites? Well, the first thing we see, it is a faith that stands on God's promises. Face of that terrible prospect, that terrifying prospect of the Egyptian army coming and massacring them, because there were hills on the other side of the children of Israel, the Red Sea was before them, and the Egyptian army was coming behind them. There seemed to be no escape. And they expressed a great fear. They thought all hope was gone, and they said to Moses, "Why have you brought us out here to die?" But Moses gave them a wonderful promise. He encourages them to wait and to see the salvation of the Lord. He encourages them to stand, to trust in God's gracious promises. And that is the nature of faith. It is a faith that rests itself on the promises of God. And in our lives, fear is something that can overcome us. We'll come back to that later on, but fear can only be faced down with the promises of God's word. We are all challenged with different fears, and the answer to our fears is the word of God. So real faith stands on the promises of God in his word. And even as we pray, we will be encouraged in our faith as we pray. If we do what the Puritans used to talk about, pleading the promises. Not just talking to God about what we need. Not just talking to God about our worries. Yes, we have to do that. But take our need, take our worries to God, focusing on the promises of his word. God loves to be reminded of those promises. So a faith that stands on God's promises. But secondly, this is a faith that is based on God's actions. The children of Israel were given a great encouragement to believe in God's deliverance by what God does, or what God had done before this. Earlier, they had witnessed God's amazing power, God's amazing care for them through the 10 plagues which happened in Egypt. Those plagues were signs to the Egyptians and signs to the children of Israel who the true God was. Many of those plagues were directed against the false gods of Egypt. For example, the god of the Nile, the god of the sun, false gods that the people had. And in what was happening in the 10 plagues, God was saying, listen, I am the one true God. And by that, he was revealing himself. And so God was physically, God was powerfully revealing himself so that his people could trust in him. But now as the Egyptians come, God moves between the Israelites and their enemies. The pillar which was before them, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, moves from before them to between them and the Egyptians. God is showing that he is a God who sees the danger. He's a God who will act. He is a God who will stand between them and trouble, between them and their enemies. And then God opens up the Red Sea before them. All night this wind blows and the dry land appears before them. Now the reason why this is so important for us as we think of how God did these wonderful things all those years ago is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. And the God of love and power and wisdom that we read about in the Bible, the God we read about in Scripture, is the God who is real for his people here today. And that is what we need to do. We need to be aware of what God does. We need to be aware of what God has done in the past. We need to be aware of the God in the Old Testament who did those amazing miracles, to have an understanding of a God of greatness and power who's bigger than any challenge we face. We need to be aware of the God of the New Testament, particularly revealed through Jesus, and see the God of continued power, God of amazing wisdom, but God of amazing grace and tenderness, who's come to walk among us. So it's a faith that stands in God's promises, but it's a faith that is based on God's actions. It's not a blind faith. It's not a faith which doesn't have any grounds for it. It's a grace, it's a faith that is fed about the truth about God. And thirdly, this is a faith that steps out. The Israelites, having seen the actions and hearing the promises of God, they then step out to cross the Red Sea. Now, that was quite a thing. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine taking that step off the land and to go down and to see this great wall of water on your right and on your left, and walking us through that? That did take faith. But that is the nature of true faith. True faith steps out. True faith causes people to go towards God, to embrace God, to embrace God's provided salvation. True faith goes to Jesus. True faith is like the woman with the flow of blood who reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. True faith is like Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, who cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. True faith is active and reaches out. James said that faith without works is dead. True faith moves us to God. True faith grasps hold of what God provides in Jesus, his Son. The Egyptians, they also entered into the Red Sea. They went the same path as the children of Israel had gone before them. But they were not kept safe because their faith was presumptive. Their faith was not based on God's truth. You see, the Israelites, their faith was based on God's promises for them. And God had told them to go, and because God had told them to go, they could go into that dangerous situation in the sea and be safe, because their faith was based on God's word. But the Egyptians just assumed. They assumed that if it was safe for these other people, they would be safe as well. And many people have that, make that wrong assumption today. Many people have this idea, oh, I don't trust in Jesus, and I don't have this born again stuff. I don't have that in my life. But God will look after me. I'll be all right. And they're not basing that. It's not a faith based on truth. It's not a faith based on God's promises. It's presumptive. It's based on assumptions that they have, which will be proved to be fatal in the end. And I hope you're not like that. I hope you're not here this evening and someone who just assumes that because you're a decent person, because you're a good Presbyterian or whatever, you'll be all right. You can't do that and be safe. True faith focuses on God's promises. True faith is based on God's actions. True faith steps out, holding on to God in this. And then the second point I want us to consider tonight is the faith that has a gap. When you quickly read over the faith of the Israelites at the Red Sea in verse 29, not 19 as it says in the note, but verse 29, and then the faith of the Israelites at Jericho in verse 30, you can easily forget that there were 40 years between these events. 40 years. Those intervening years involved a time of failure, a failure of faith, and God's judgment. After the Red Sea, after that triumphal thing, the Israelites failed to build on their faith. And the result was the sad instance at Meribah when they complained against the Lord, the instance of the golden calf when Moses took long up the mountain for them. And then the failed invasion of the promised land when they wouldn't go when God told them to go and then decided to try and go themselves and were beaten back. And the result of their lack of faith in God, the result of their lack of faith in God's promises was that they would spend 40 years in the wilderness until all of adult age, all men of military age would die, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. They didn't go forward in their faith, and so their faith regressed. And one of the things you need to ask yourself, one of the things we need to consider, is our faith advancing? I think one of the great dangers is there's a time in our lives and our faith is alive and we're stepping out in faith, and then there comes a time when we stop doing that. The zeal goes. We play it safe. Life becomes very comfortable. It sometimes happens when people get married and have children. Sometimes comes in lives and maybe another change of circumstances in people's lives. People who were vibrant and had time to be involved and to serve the Lord and would step out and seek to do things for the Lord in faith. There comes a time when they no longer step out in the same vibrant way. We need to be careful. We need to build on our faith. We need to be going forward, because the danger, if we don't keep going forward, we'll be going back. We need to keep stretching ourselves. We need to be those who are seeking to do new things. I mentioned Caleb there. Great example. Caleb at the age of 80, 40 years after he first had entered the promised land as one of the good spies. He goes into it, an old man of 80. Apologies if you're 80. What does he want to do as an old man of 80? To build a wee house and take it easy? No. He wants to go and to fight the giants, to prove the power of God at work in his life. We need to be like him. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. We're not like Moses, who went his own way and instead of waiting on God, decided to take things into his own actions, and he killed the Egyptian. He spent 40 years in the wilderness, not being used by the Lord. And it was only then, after those 40 years, that God used him. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've had a period in the wilderness. Maybe you've had a period when indeed you haven't been walking with the Lord. You haven't been stepping out in faith. Maybe like Moses, you need to encounter the Lord in a fresh way as he did at the burning bush. And maybe have your faith restored and go back to stepping out in faith day by day. And so we have the faith that has a gap between verses 29 and 30. 40 years, by and large, of failure in the wilderness. And then thirdly, we come to the faith that is victorious. If you look there at the words of verse 30 as we come to Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. As we think of that incident, there's again some vital lessons here about faith. It's a faith that is God-centered. The march around Jericho had the Ark of the Covenant at the very center of their parade. The Ark of the Covenant spoke of God's presence with them. That was the focus of the people. The focus was on God, on a reliance on God to give them the victory. The Ark, you remember, contained a jar of manna, that bread which had been provided in the wilderness, Aaron's staff which had budded, which speaks of God's leading and blessing, the Ten Commandments, God's love in guiding his people. So the Ark spoke of God's covenant faithfulness, a God who cares for his people. And focusing on his faithfulness is what was encouraging them in their faith as they walked around the city every day for 7 days. Focusing on God, it's a faith that is God-centered. Hebrews 12, you go to the next chapter in verse 1, it says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, how do we run this journey? Look at verse 2. "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." How do you have a faith that is victorious, a faith that conquers sin in your life? How do you have a faith that enables you to reach out and to share the gospel and to see the victory of people coming to know Christ and salvation? How do you have a faith that sees your church grow and flourish and develop? It's a faith that is focused on Christ. It is God-centered. Secondly, it's a faith that is obedient to God's word. The early part of Joshua 6, the part we didn't read, there God gave very detailed plans to Joshua of what they were to do. God told them how many people were to go, many of the priests to carry the trumpets. He was told them what they were to do, go round it every day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day to go round it 7 times, and then to blow the trumpets. The people, their faith was in obedience to God's word. Faith and obedience to God's word can never be separated. This is again one of the problems with faith becoming fuzzy. James says, "I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you my faith by doing what God calls me to do." And so we cannot say we have faith if we don't trust what God is saying. The confession of faith says this, that by this faith, a Christian believeth to be true whatsoever is revealed in the word, yielding obedience to the commands. So the confession says faith in God, faith in Christ includes faith in his word. You can't say you trust God and don't trust what his word says. You can't say you trust God and don't obey what his word says. So real faith is obedient to God's word. The faith that will be victorious is a faith that says, "God, show me the truth. Show me the way to go. Guide me in the way to go." And then looks in the Bible to find the way to go. So often people look for guidance and some flashing light or something. Some warm feeling is the way to find guidance. No. It's open your Bible. Read your Bible. Read through your Bible day by day. Let your Bible shape your thinking. Let the Bible mold the way you live. That's how God will guide you. And thirdly, this victorious faith is a faith that is patient. The Israelites had to march and wait 7 days. And then on the seventh day, they had to wait until they went round the city 7 times before the victory came. Now, I don't know about you, but It's a warmer climate than ours. Why 7 days? Lord, we're here at this city. We have to destroy this city. You want us to destroy this city. If we're going to go into the promised land, we have to take this city out of the equation. Lord, why not do it today? No, wait. Day two. Lord, why not today? No, wait. And it goes on and goes on and on. And day seven, Lord, we've walked around twice. Is that not enough? Why not now? The thing is, God's timing is perfect. God knows the right time to come and bless and to work. We have to trust God. Maybe it means praying for that person to be saved for many years. Maybe it means witnessing to that person for many years. Maybe it's trusting in God's promises for your children for many years before you see the blessing, before you see the fruit, before you see the victory. It's a faith that is God-centered. It's a faith that's obedient to God's word. It's a faith that is patient. What is your faith like? Oh, so often we are like the disciples. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And the Lord's reply is, you need real faith. It's not necessarily we need big faith. We need faith that focuses in a great God. We need a faith that brings us into a knowledge and deepening relationship with God. That's what we need. We need to know God in a better way. It's not our faith in itself is the crucial thing. It's God is crucial. It's what we think of God. It's our focus on God. It's our knowledge of God. It's our experience of God. And as that deepens, it's then that we will know the victory that comes through faith. Let's learn from the people of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just think tonight of this faith that divides, a faith that made the difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And Father, we understand that even possibly in this building tonight, there is a division between those who believe, those who have that genuine saving faith in Christ, who have embraced Christ as Savior and Lord, and those who have not. Lord, help us to know clearly where we stand on this issue, that we are genuinely those who, through faith, belong to Christ. And Father, we think of the gap in the faith, the 40 years of struggle because they didn't build on the faith that they showed at the Red Sea. And Father, we realize that our faith is always under attack. The enemy wants to throw in those doubts. The enemy wants to cause us to despair. The enemy wants to distract us. Lord, help us to remain focused. To remain focused on you, on Christ your Son. To feed our faith through the means of grace. And Lord, give us a faith that is victorious. Give us a faith that will see the walls of sin, the walls of doubt, the walls of rebellion in the lives of so many around us. To see these walls come tumbling down. And Lord, that we would see the victory of people, of a community devoted to the living God. So Lord, come in power, we pray. Come and give us the faith that we need. Give us the knowledge of God that we need. And Lord, that we would be those like the children of Israel in their best of days. Lord, walking in trust with our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.